Good morning, and I welcome you to this worship service this morning. I'm glad that all of you could make it out. It has been a little chillier the last few days than what we would have maybe liked or what we've been experiencing in the last month or two. But yesterday it was sunny, there was very little wind, and it wasn't bad. At least I didn't think so. It makes such a difference if the wind isn't there. So, thank you all for coming. Let's take a look at our announcements. If anybody has an announcement they'd like to make, please come up now, and then we'll listen to those.
We'd just like to have one final practice for the kids for their Christmas play, which is next Sunday. So we'd like as many kids that can come out for this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock a.m.
A couple of announcements about MCI. Just to highlight that our Christmas concerts are coming up on the 15th and 16th. And something came up in our staff meeting on Friday that I want to, I guess, draw attention to. There have been rumors all over southern Manitoba that MCI is closing next year. And I just want to make clear that that is absolutely not true. I've even been hearing it this weekend after the staff meeting. MCI has no intentions of closing, and we trust that God is going to provide the students we will need in the coming year. So if you hear that rumor, please counter it. Tell the truth.
I just want to draw your attention to the youth and junior youth announcements. Junior youth, we're going to be Christmas caroling tomorrow, so meet here at 7, and we'll be going around and caroling. Dress warm. And for senior youth, we're doing our Christmas party this week, so that starts at 6 p.m., and we're going to be having some food, so come a little bit hungry. All right, on. Thanks.
Other announcements, a couple of birth announcements. Aaron Fair and Tiffany Sabrin on the birth of their son, Gunnar Rodney, on Tuesday, November 29th. It's the first grandson for Rod and Ange, so congratulations to them. Also to Carrie and Jen Dick on the birth of their son, Braxton Cole, on December 6th. He's another grandson for Menno and Ingrid. So we wish both these couples and their families God's blessings as they begin and continue the journey of parenting. Also from Tenley, some good news. Hopefully that continues. On January 1st, we're going to be having our sharing service. We usually have that the last Sunday of the year, and this year the last Sunday of the year falls on Christmas, so we'll be doing that on New Year's Day. There will be a breakfast at 9 a.m. Everyone's invited, and then we will have an informal worship service, or a more informal worship service after that. Not sure if there's any other announcements that I need to highlight. If not, then I'll call you to worship with our verse of the week found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right paths. I thought that fit in well with Psalm 146, where it says, "Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When their breathing stops, they return to earth, and in a moment all their plans come to an end." We as humans tend to gravitate towards powerful, influential people whom we feel we can trust. That trust is often based on what they have done or what they could do for us, rather than how good they are or whether they have our best interests in mind. These people are human, and as it says in Psalm 146, will eventually die. If we place too much trust in them, they will let us down. Our only sure bet is to trust in the Lord and allow him the opportunity to guide us in the direction that he wants us to go. As Jake said last week, we don't like to wait. We want things now. Our level of patience seems to diminish with each passing generation. Sometimes it can be beneficial to step back and wait before we rush into something or make a rash decision. The extra time we take can help us see the bigger picture better. It often leads to making a much wiser decision than if we just rush headlong into something. A wise, well-thought-out decision can and does usually bring us more joy and happiness. If this decision also includes involving God in the process, it may even mean there would be a lasting joy. As we wait and look forward to this Christmas season and the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, let us center our attention on this event. Then all the rest of the hustle and bustle that revolves around this busy time can be overshadowed by the promise that the birth of the baby boy will bring lasting joy to all those who accept him as their personal Savior. Let's pray. We are waiting, O God. We know you work wonders. You announce mysteries. You choose the surprising. You startle the unexpected. You keep hope, joy, and peace alive. You fulfill your promises. May we not only know, may we also practice believing while we are waiting. Amen.
Test. Good morning. I would invite you to stand as we sing together to worship and praise our King this morning. We'll begin with number 15, O Worship the King, and then we'll go right into the chorus, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. So please stand.
Isaiah's message to the people is one of encouragement to persist and patience. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come and save you. But you must take the long view. It will come to pass only through multiple generations. However, when it comes, the transformation will be real and all-encompassing. There will be streams in the desert, water breaking forth in the wilderness, causing the dry land to spring forth with life. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the deaf shall hear, the lame shall leap, the silent tongue shall sing for joy. Those ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All this is broken, is transformed by the redemptive power of God. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, says the psalmist. Mary echoes this along with Isaiah's message when she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. He who is mighty has done great things for me and holy is his name." Let us pray. Along with Isaiah and Mary, we give you thanks, O Lord, for your transformative power to change the course of this world and of our lives. Amen.
Church, come forward for the offering now. Thank you. Just a couple of other announcements. Next Sunday, the Sunday School Christmas program. Let's remember that. We do have a candlelight service again on the 24th. And there will be no Sunday school on Christmas Day and also New Year's Day. So just a reminder for that. Can we bow to pray, please? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today and thank you for this Christmas season in which we can celebrate your birth, your life, your death, and your resurrection. Make us aware of who you are, what you have done, and how you can help us to have a joyful life. Give us a desire to know you personally. Give us a desire to follow you, to share with others the story of your life, and to be a faithful witness as we walk with you daily. This morning we want to thank you for the gift of life, for Aaron, Tiffany, and Gunner, for Carrie, Jen, and Braxton. We pray for your blessing upon their lives. We pray that they would be godly examples to their children, that these two precious little babies would grow up knowing you and following you throughout their lives. We pray that these family units and all families would experience joy, peace, and love, especially during this special time of year. We also want to pray for those who are experiencing difficulties right now, whether it be health-related or something else. May they experience a sense of peace, knowing that you are still in control. Give all of us the desire to support and help each other. Thank you for allowing us to gather together here this morning and worship you in peace and without fear of reprisal. Give Jerry and all those involved this morning the wisdom and joy to make this service meaningful for all. Be with us as we continue to prepare for and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. May all of us experience you and your great love for us. Amen.
Jerry will be speaking on how knowing and trusting God brings lasting joy. He is our source of joy and peace. He is our Redeemer, our Lord, living Word. Jesus is our friend and our comforter. He is Emmanuel, God with us.
I will be reading Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me? Good morning. Can I invite somebody to come and pray for me? This is a pretty hefty responsibility, preaching. Appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for Jerry. We thank you for the time that he has taken to prepare for this. We thank you for leading and guiding him, and that he would allow you to lead and guide him. I pray that you would give him strength and joy and the desire to share your word with us, and that we would have open hearts and minds to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks. Good morning. So the ushers at the back are going to be handing out some papers to you if you want to follow along with my sermon a little bit and take a few notes. You can hand those out, and I'll just start. Yeah. Good morning. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's also known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is a Latin word, and it means rejoice. I want to explore the theme of lasting joy this morning, and I want, especially since it seems like we live in a time where depression and anxiety, fearfulness, and other mental health struggles seem to be growing, people are being more aware of them. And I think it's important to explore what the Bible has to say about lasting joy and what God thinks about that. There are three things I want to cover this morning. The first one is that lasting joy comes from knowing and trusting God. Lasting joy comes from knowing and trusting God. The second that I want to cover is lasting joy comes when we shift our focus from the problem to the solution, which is Jesus. Lasting joy results when we shift our focus from the problem to the solution, which is Jesus. And the third one I want to talk about is lasting joy comes from continuously delighting in God's grace for us. And based on those three, I'm going to give you a challenge for this week and a few questions to think about as well. First, a story. So I grew up in Shinevesi, which is about 5 minutes that way. And I grew up beside the community lot, where every year they would build a skating rink at Christmas time or in the winter. So once it got cold enough and once there was enough snow on the ground, they would pack it down and then flood the ice, and then we'd be able to skate. Now, every time, about winter time, we'd be at school and recess would be getting colder and colder and you'd have to dress warmer and all these things. But when I would go home, I would look out the window and I would wait. Have they started packing the snow yet? Have they started flooding the rink? Because then we could go skating. And I was so excited about it. And so I would have this amazing sense of joy when finally we'd look out the window and they had started the process of making that rink. And we were almost ready to skate. And then it would be flooded and we'd be able to go. So we would make plans on the bus, you know, as we're driving home from school, when we're going to go skating with our friends. And we would go and do that. And so that was one instance in my life of something that was really joyful when I was a kid. But the problem is that joy didn't last. In springtime, the ice would melt. and then we couldn't skate anymore. About February sometimes, maybe, or March, then it would be too warm and the ice would be melty, and if you went on it, you would wreck it, and so you wouldn't go on it, and then you would just be done skating for the year. And so that joy didn't last. And I want to submit that most of the things in life that we look forward to, the joys that we enjoy, are temporary. And the reality is that lasting joy is something that's different than that. It needs to be based in something that doesn't stop or doesn't change. So the first point, lasting joy comes from knowing and trusting God. In Psalm 146, verse 5, the psalmist writes, "Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." This word happy is the same word that's used in the Beatitudes to say blessed. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, all of those things. It is a word that conveys the meaning of one who is to be envied. Man, if you're that guy. So, if you're the person whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, you are to be envied. He goes on, the psalmist, to tell us who this God is that we can trust. He says, "He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. The Lord frees prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects foreigners and helps the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah." And hallelujah is a word that also means praise the Lord. In Luke 1, verses 46 to 55, Mary rejoices because her focus is on who God is and what he has done. I might have put that in the wrong place, but I'm going to keep going. She says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. And his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Mary's declarations echo the declarations of the psalmist in Psalm 146, as she mentions her soul praising the Lord, and as she continues to describe who this God is. The God she describes is mighty and powerful. He is good and worthy of all our hope and trust. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which you'll find at the top of your bulletin, say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths." Like Kenley mentioned last week, the wisest man who ever lived tells us that if we trust in God with our whole being, that's Solomon, not Kenley, he will guide us on right paths. We can trust God because of his goodness, his compassion, his mercy, his justice, and his grace, even when our circumstances are not ideal. Lasting joy comes from knowing and trusting God. And if you're a person who doesn't know God or trust him, maybe, with your life, or if you have a hard time trusting with him, you're like a lot of people. I think it takes a lifetime to learn to know who God is and to continue getting to know him. And I don't think that if you are at a point today where you think you know all of who God is, that you're right. Because there's more to know about God. He's bigger than you think. My second point. Lasting joy results when we shift our focus from the problem to the solution, which is Jesus. Lasting joy results when we shift our focus from the problem to the solution, which is Jesus. I have another story for you. I have a good friend who I go for breakfast with once a month. He challenges me to walk closer to Jesus, and we have good conversations about life and faith and all sorts of things that matter. At one such meeting, I remember mentioning to him that sometimes I'm still kind of, maybe sort of, afraid of the dark. If you didn't catch that, I said afraid of the dark. And I'll never forget his reaction. He didn't poke fun at me. He didn't bug me about it. He didn't say, well, that's stupid, which would be very mean to somebody who's telling you their fear, a deep fear that's important. He rather invited me, rather quickly and spontaneously, to meet him at his house later on that week, and we would work on this. And I wasn't sure what that would mean. I thought, maybe, you know, we'll go for a walk in the dark and he'll counsel me about it. This friend of mine is also a youth pastor, and so we talk about work sometimes too. But I thought, maybe he'll ask me, so what's at the root of this fear of the dark? What are you really afraid of? And do all this, you know, talk therapy kind of stuff with me. But I don't know if that's what happened. I thought that maybe, yeah, I had no idea what I was going to get myself into. I knew it would probably be in the dark, though. And so I went to my friend's house at the prescribed time, and we promptly got into his car, and we drove to the head of the Trans-Canada Trail. This was at about 8:45 or 9 in the evening, and it was dark because it wasn't the middle of summer. And as we're driving, I figured this is probably where we were going. And I figured he was probably going to try and make me do something that I was uncomfortable with. And so my fear response was rising. I was getting more and more anxious sitting in his car. What is going to happen? What is he going to do? And it wasn't an excited, happy kind of anxiousness. It was more of a dreadfulness. And so I asked him, timidly, so what's the plan? And he said, well, we're going to go and you're going to hike and it's going to be good. And I said, oh, great. We got there. He had a backpack for me, and so I put it on, this backpack, and it was heavy. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to hike with this backpack. And he told me, Jerry, you're going to hike this trail. It's about 6.8 kilometers. It'll take you an hour and a half. I'm going to leave you here. I'm actually going to go home and work on some stuff, and I'll come back and get you. So I'll be back in about an hour and a half. Oh, by the way, can I have your cell phone? And so I gave him my cell phone. Oh, and here's mine. I can track you because I've got the Find My iPhone thing on, so I can know, I'll know where you are at all times, and it'll be all good. And I'll come get you after an hour and a half. And I'm standing there in the dark thinking, I have to hike this trail in the dark? Oh my goodness, this is crazy. And so then I asked him, like, so where do I start? And he's like, use the flashlight, dummy. And so I turned his phone flashlight on, and I was ready to go. And so my friend got in his car, and he took off. And I started hiking down this trail. And I'm hiking, and I forgot to think in my fearful state, because often what happens when you're afraid is you do one of three things. You either fight, you flee, or you freeze. And your frontal cortex, or whatever, this thing that makes your decisions and all that stuff, it doesn't work very well when you're terrified. So then I wasn't thinking very clearly. And I didn't think that the trail might go like this. I thought it might just go like this, but we're in the hills. So it went a little more up and down and around, which is, I'm glad that I had a flashlight for that. So I started hiking, and I'm going. And I was afraid, so I just gave her, because I didn't want to stop, and I wanted this to be over as soon as possible. And I learned something about myself in that. It was when I'm afraid, I don't like to freeze. I like to just keep moving. I got to do something. And so I just kept moving. And I trusted in a couple of things, though. And this is what kind of the point of this story, is I was trusting in, first of all, the flashlight that was guiding me along this trail. Another thing, that my friend cared about me and wouldn't put me in danger on purpose. And also that he knew where I was and where I was going to be at all times. And if something went wrong, he would be able to find me. And so I'm hiking. About 45 minutes in, I get a text message on my friend's phone, which I'm holding in front of me as a flashlight. Hey, can you turn the location services on my phone? Which, if you're not hip with technology, if the location services are off on an iPhone, you cannot know where it is because the GPS isn't working or it isn't on. So the one thing that I was trusting in got taken out from under me. I no longer had the assurance that my friend knew exactly where I was. He knew what trail I was on, but he didn't know exactly where I was or when I was going to be back. And so I tried to send him a text message back because iPhones have this fancy feature now that you can swipe left and hit a message. And so I could actually text because I didn't have the code for his phone. So I texted him back, hey, I don't have your code. Can you send it to me? And then I sent it and I kept walking. A couple minutes later, my fearfulness is kicking in again. And so I checked the phone to see if the message sent because I'm not getting a response. No service because I'm in the valley. That's not terrifying at all. It is. I was about 45 minutes in, so I decided, well, I'm pretty close to the end anyway. I'm just going to turn around and go back because I don't know if he's going to be able to find me later. That's my admission of my fear. So I started going back, but I hiked for another 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden everything went dark. The phone crashed. It turned off, and so the light wasn't working. And I'm in the dark in the middle of this trail, and I tried turning the phone back on, and it didn't go. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? This trail has ups and downs and twists and turns, and I'm stuck in the dark with no light. And then I thought, hey, my friend gave me a backpack. Maybe he put a flashlight in there. So I open up this backpack, and I start reaching through there, and I reach past a sleeping bag, and I'm looking for something. And I'm like, oh, wait, sleeping bag. Does that mean that he wants me to stay out here for night? Oh, no. Ah! And I'm getting fearful. But I found what I was looking for. I found a headband that had a light on it, a headlamp. And so I took this headlamp out, and I figured out how to turn it on because I've never used a headlamp before. And I had light again. And so I put the backpack back on, and I carried on my journey. And eventually I made it out, and my friend eventually came and picked me up, even though he didn't know where I was. But I made it out. And so the emphasis that I want to put on this is that sometimes the things that we're trusting in, we can't put our trust in. Like Eric mentioned in his call to worship, and the psalmist says in 146, don't put your trust in powerful people. And I want to submit that if we're putting our trust in anything other than God, it can let you down. Mary's focus was not on explaining how she got pregnant to her husband-to-be or to the public. She wasn't focusing on the problems. And during my hike, I could have focused on my fears, but focusing on your fears generally tends to make them bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more we focus on our problems and our fears, the bigger they seem, and the smaller our hope can seem. But Mary's focus wasn't on all the what-ifs. Oh man, God said I'm going to have a baby and I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Like, people are going to cast me out. And she wasn't focused on all those things. She was focused on what God thought. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Which is really awesome. She held tightly to God's word that was revealed to her. And he directed her and revealed the truth to her husband-to-be as well, which was helpful. The reality is that Jesus, the Messiah, he came and he's coming again. And as we prepare for Christmas, we're invited to revisit the good news of the kingdom of God. Through Jesus, God has made a way for us to be right with him, to have a relationship with him. We can have peace with God. We are able to live delighting in his grace rather than in dreading and expecting his wrath. The Messiah, Jesus, who was born, who lived and died and rose again, he proved to us by his life that he was the Son of God. He died a sinner's death on the cross to take the penalty of our sin and to break its power over us. We don't need to live any longer as slaves to sin, but rather we are free to live God's way, to do what's right, to do what's good, to live in a way that brings life to our souls and the souls of those around us. Your sin is not too much for God to handle. You cannot surprise him or disappoint him because he had you in mind before he created the world, and he knows your heart. His grace is even for those of you who struggle to give grace to yourselves. His forgiveness is not dependent on how clean you look on the outside or on the inside. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful cleansing agent in the universe. And it's what he used to clean us of our sins. He shed it for you, to make you whole and free. We're invited to accept his gift of grace that's free today and every day. We're invited to renew our resolve to love God, to love others, and to share this news with them. And I guarantee that for a lot of us who became Christians, if that's your reality, you didn't become a Christian because your sin was bigger than Jesus. You became a Christian because Jesus proved that he is bigger. He can take care of it. God is patient with us. But his time is not going to be here forever. We don't have forever. He wants a relationship with us so much that he sent his own son Jesus to make it possible. He poured out all of the punishment and wrath that was destined for us on Jesus. He poured it all out on Jesus for us so that we don't have to take it. And all we need to do is believe in him and make him Lord of our life. So what are you waiting for? If you haven't decided this, what's holding you back? Maybe you don't trust that Jesus is good. Maybe you don't trust that God is real or God is good. But he is. And I'd ask that you would ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to prove it. Because that's what he does. He proves to us in our hearts that he's real and that he loves us. And often it's by showing us the reality of where he's been working in our life up until this point. And it's amazing. As we look forward to Christmas in Advent, we have opportunity to revisit this, to look at where Jesus is at work and to continue knowing that he is coming again. But there's still time to tell our neighbors about Jesus. Thirdly, lasting joy comes from continuously delighting in God's grace toward us, this grace that sent Jesus for us. A word that would be aptly described as continuously delighting in God's grace toward us is rejoice. In the early days of the church, times weren't easy. People who believed in Jesus were persecuted. They were ostracized. They were challenged. They weren't even allowed to do business with people that were their neighbors because of their faith in Christ. The Jews persecuted them because there was this new fancy teaching and it wasn't right. And so if you were a Jew who became a Christian, you had hard times. Your community wouldn't accept you any longer. But it's during these times, and in one of his times in prison, that Paul the Apostle writes to the Philippian church to encourage them to rejoice. He says this in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, if you want to turn there. I usually put these on my paper because it takes me a long time to flip around in my Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're not feeling peaceful in your heart today. Maybe you're not feeling peaceful in your heart this week. Maybe there's too many things on your to-do list before Christmas, or too many things that you wish you could get done before the end of the year. But we can delight in the graciousness of God toward us because he promises to guard our hearts and minds with his peace when we take our requests to him, when we thank him for the things that he has done. Even when their circumstances were not ideal, the Philippians were encouraged to rejoice always. Continuously delight in God's grace toward you and let your graciousness be known to everyone. We can tell God about all the things that are stressing us out, and he's going to guard our hearts and minds. Both the psalmist and Mary expressed the joy in their souls by saying things like this: "Hallelujah, my soul, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. And my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." They're continuously delighting in God's grace. What does it look like in your life to continuously delight in God's grace? We're getting close to the end, folks. We've explored a few things this morning. Lasting joy comes from knowing and trusting God. Lasting joy results when we shift our focus from the problem to the solution, which is Jesus. And finally, lasting joy comes from delighting continuously in God's grace. So how does this apply to your life this week? What difference does it make? I want to give you two questions to ask yourself, and they're on the paper in front of you, and the challenge as well. First question: what stops you from trusting God in your finances, in your marriage, in your family, in your parenting, in your business, in your work, in your school, in your friendships, in the future? What stops you from trusting God in those things? I want to encourage you to pick the one thing that sticks out to you most that you're having a hard time trusting God in. Put that in there and answer that question for yourself this week. The second question: how can you focus more on Jesus than on the problems in your life this week? And that one's pretty self-explanatory. Jesus came so we could have life. How can we focus on him more than our problems this week? Because the more we focus on Jesus, the bigger he becomes and the smaller our problems seem. Because he cares about our eternity, not just our life on earth. Not just next week, not just next year, not just the next 20 years. He cares about our eternity. And he wants us to live with him. And I challenge you, congregation, this week, to express your delight in God's grace by sharing about what he has done in your life to someone else. Tell them about it. And that might be scary for some of you, but it might be as easy as just talking about the weather or sports or things that you actually care about, like your kids, your grandkids. Sometimes we find it easy to talk about those things because we feel like it doesn't matter as much, maybe, as talking about Jesus. But I think it's almost as easy to come up in conversation. Jesus matters to me. I go to church on Sunday. I actually think that he's really important. And this is why. This is what he's done in my life. When I was in grade 3, God healed my eyes. I didn't need to wear glasses anymore. And I hated glasses. They were so annoying. But Jesus healed my eyes, and so I didn't have to wear them anymore. And that's one thing that he's done in my life. That's as easy as it is to share about what God has done in your life. And it reminds you, too, about what God has done. Because sometimes we get too focused on our problems and not focused on what God has done and the solution that he has been and is. And if you're at a place where you don't know God and you don't trust him and you don't know who Jesus is and you're struggling, I want to encourage you to ask somebody about him. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Who is Jesus and why does he matter to you? Why do you go to church? Why do you care about going to meetings that are involving the church and like taking care of the churchyard and all of these things? Why do they matter when there's so much stuff going on in life? Talk to somebody about Jesus and find out about who he is. Maybe they've got an answer for you. And if you like, I want to give you a personal invitation. You can talk to me about that. You can talk to Pastor Rudy, putting him on the spot, and any of the lay ministers, Walter or Jake or Esther, or Eric, even though he's taking a sabbatical this year, or anybody else who's a believer. We'd love to tell you about why Jesus matters to us. We are all on a journey to God. Where are you at?
Please stand as we sing our final song, My Life Flows On. Please bow with me. God, in a time when anxiety and things like that are so prevalent, I pray that you would convince us of your truth, that we would be able to know and trust you. God, I pray that you would help us to put our faith in you, because you are the source of lasting joy. Be with us this week. And help us to focus on you and not all of the things that are going wrong in our lives. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.